Our scripture reading today would be Colossians 3:17. Let's read. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
A child is abused when he's not taught to be thankful. You know as well as I do that his chances to succeed in life are really cut short if he's not taught deep down as a very fundamental part of his character to be thankful. You know that he'll never be happy in life if he's not taught how to be thankful. The first Thanksgiving Day that is recorded happened in Virginia, but it was anything but a feast. It was the winter of 1610, and the winter was particularly harsh, and the settlers were reduced from 509, or rather 409, down to 60. They were praying for deliverance, praying for some sort of saving, and that prayer was answered ultimately in the form of a ship from England bearing supplies and food, and so they organized a prayer meeting to give thanks to God. Now, Thanksgiving Day, as we normally think of it, traditionally traces itself back to the year 1621, just 11 years later, in the small colony of Plymouth, where you have the English pilgrims sharing a meal with a select number of Native Americans who had brought gifts and food as a form of, it was a goodwill gesture, and they ate a meal together, and that tradition grew over the years across the 13 colonies, and they started practicing that on an annual basis. Now fast forward about 150 years. We don't read too much, it's, none of it is an official holiday. We come to the year 1777, where the Continental Congress declares a national day of thanksgiving. Not an annual event, but just that one year, a single event celebrating the success of, or the victory of the American revolutionary forces in the Battle of Saratoga. 12 years after that, George Washington declares a national day of thanksgiving in response to the ratification of the U.S. Constitution. And he went to Congress and he said, let's make this an annual celebration, an annual holiday. They declined, of course. But it took another 80 years, 1863, for President Abraham Lincoln, in an effort to lift the spirits of the Union, he declared the last Thursday of November to be an annual celebration, an annual day of thanksgiving, as he called it. Jesus was a thankful man on earth. And that's very important for us to see, because Philippians chapter 2 says that we are to have this mind that we see in Christ. The attitude that he had, and fundamental to his attitude, was an attitude of thanksgiving. I'm reminded of how he gave thanks, even for the mere fact that God revealed his word. We read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. He thanked God for the fact that he revealed his will to mankind. Have you thanked God for that? The fact that you and I, we can have a glimpse into the mind of Christ. You and I, we can know God's will because he has stooped to our level to reveal his will for us. There's another occasion in Luke 22, verse 17, where Jesus and the disciples there are gathered together for the Passover feast, and if they followed the tradition, they would have prayed before the Passover feast. But then after that feast, it says Jesus took the bread and the cup, It wasn't going to be a lot of food because they'd already eaten, number one. They'd already had the meal, but he separated the bread and the cup. And it says in verse 17 that he gave thanks even for that little bit of food that he was using to institute his supper. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful, just as Jesus was. What I want to do this morning is I want to look at four unavoidable facts that God wants us to see about Thanksgiving. And these are conclusions that we can draw from Scripture with any amount of time studying the Bible. Four things that God wants us to see about Thanksgiving. Here's the first thing that we see when we study the Bible. God wants us to be thankful. Of course, that's the most obvious takeaway. God wants us to be thankful. Now, thankfulness is an attitude of the Spirit. Now, God is Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thankfulness is an attitude of the Spirit. It's never going to arise out of the flesh. It's only going to come out of your spirit. And it's the part of you that is to be worshiping God right now. Thankfulness is an inseparable component of our worship to God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we read this. Colossians 3, verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." We are to be thankful. It's part of our spiritual worship to God. On one hand, we need to be thankful, first and foremost, of course, for the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift." Have you ever been so aware of the salvation that has been offered to you, the salvation that has been provided to you, so overcome with the reality of what it took to save you? The wretched worm that I am. That you had a hard time expressing to God, putting into words your thankfulness. Now, if you can't relate to that, of course, then you have not an appreciation for your salvation that you need to have. We need to be thankful. And then, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, we read this. "But thanks be to God, that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." You ever thank God for the fact that He saved you? Not only that He saved you, but that we became slaves to righteousness. We became saved and continue to be saved, continue to be sanctified, continue to be transformed because of the pattern that He revealed to us. Aren't you thankful that God didn't just save you, but He also told you how to live? I'm thankful for that. Just following God's word has kept me out of a lot of trouble, because I'm pretty good at getting myself into trouble. But if you stick with the word, if you stick with the holy living, the way that God has told you to live, it has a way of blessing your life in ways that you will have never imagined. Have you thanked God for that? The spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. But of course, we also need to thank God for the physical blessings. The fact that we have food, clothing, shelter, our jobs, our careers, our family, our health, the country that we live in. We thank God for those things. I read recently, and I'm going to put the quote up on the screen, of what it would look like if your salary was suddenly transformed to the salary of half the world's population. Look at this quote. "Take away the furniture, saving a few old blankets, kitchen table, one chair. Take away all the clothing except for the oldest dress or suit, a shirt, a blouse, and one pair of shoes for the head of the family. Empty the cupboards of food with the exception of a small bag of flour, some sugar, salt, a few moldy potatoes, a handful of onions, and a dish of fried beans. Dismantle the bathroom, shut off the water and remove the electrical wiring, exchange all automobiles for one bicycle, take away the house itself, and move the family into a tool shed, cancel all subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, and book clubs, put the nearest clinic or hospital 100 miles away, put a midwife in charge instead of a doctor, discard the bank account, stock certificates, pension plans, insurance policies, and leave the family only $5 in cash. Give the head of the family a few acres to cultivate, to grow food for his family, one-third of which goes to the landlord. I'm so thankful that there's no one in this room that can relate to that. I know that there is a wealth discrepancy among all the people in this room. Some of us have more wealth and money than others of us. And by the way, have you ever gloried in that fact just alone? Isn't it interesting that the Lord being adopted into his family has brought people together in this room that otherwise never would have been brought together, not in a million years, but now there are people in this room that are part of the same family. And I love that. I think that you need to worship God for that fact. But we also need to thank God that we can't relate to the other half of the world's population in this sense. We have been so blessed. Emma Bombeck wrote this. She said, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today after bouts with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them. I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. The kid was right. Sometimes it's hard to be grateful, and sometimes we need to force ourselves to be thankful. We need to remember that we need to put things into perspective. I'm reminded of Jesus in Luke chapter 17 when he was on his way traveling from Samaria to Galilee, and off to a distance were the 10 lepers. Remember that account in Luke 17? I'm just summarizing the account there in that chapter. They were off to a distance because, of course, they were in quarantine. They were lepers. They were given a death sentence, and they had to be separated from the rest of society. And so they saw Jesus from a distance and called to him, asking him, Lord Jesus, please cleanse us. And Jesus shouted to them from a distance and told them, go to the priest, and there you will be cleansed. And the text says, as they were going, all 10 of them were cleansed. But only one of them, upon realizing that he was cleansed, he went back to Jesus, ran back to Jesus, fell down at his feet, and thanked him. You remember what Jesus asked that one leper. He said, were there not 10 of you? Where are the 9? 9 different reasons have been proposed for why the other 9 didn't come back to thank Jesus like the one leper did. It's been proposed that one of the lepers waited to see if this cleansing was this healing, this miraculous healing was real. It's also been proposed maybe the other one waited to see if it was going to last. Maybe the leprosy would come back. And so he was going to wait, hold off his thanks until he was sure that it wasn't going to come back. One of them thought, well, I can see Jesus later. I've got things to do right now, after all. I've got business to tend to. I've been away from society for a while. I've got some loose ends to tie up. Jesus can wait. I'll see him later. It's been proposed that one of them thought, well, I never really had leprosy. I had symptoms kind of like the others, but I never really had it to begin with. It's been proposed that one of them said, well, I would have gotten better on my own anyway. Or maybe another one said, well, I need to give glory to the priests. They were the ones I've been asking to pray for me after all, so I need to give glory to them, not this Jesus man. It's been proposed that one of them said, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. He didn't break a sweat for this. He just stood there, shouted at me. He didn't do anything. Why should I thank him? It's been proposed that one of them said, well, any rabbi could have done this. And it's been proposed that maybe the ninth one thought, well, I was already much improved as it was. And Jesus asks, where are the nine? We're pretty good at rationalizing away the fact that everything that we have, we do not deserve. Everything that we have is a pure act of grace. We need to be thankful. Number two, this is another conclusion we can draw. God wants us to give thanks. Not just feel it, but he wants us to give it. I think this is very interesting. There are times when God, he wants to hear us say something. Not for his benefit, but for our benefit. Adam, where are you? Remember that? Genesis chapter 3? Don't you think that God knew where Adam was when he asked that question? Absolutely. Why did he ask it? He wanted Adam to hear him say it. God knows what's in the heart of man. He knows when we feel thankful. John chapter 2, 23 and 24 says that Jesus knew what was in man. He knows your thoughts before you even speak it. But he wants to hear you say it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Why do you reckon Jesus asked that question? Don't you think that he already knew what the word on the street was about his identity? Of course he did. But he wanted to hear the disciples say it. He wanted to hear the disciples hear it from their own mouths. This is what people say you are. But Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God wants us to hear us express our gratitude. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning by his authority. And then the text says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to express our gratitude. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, we read this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Not just celebrating Thanksgiving once a year. We need to be abounding in thanksgiving. How are you doing? How are you expressing that? The Bible gives us a new way to see things. We see things in a new way every single day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you see things new every morning? I think about my Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Aren't you thankful every day? Have you expressed that gratitude every single day? Those haunting words, though, should resonate in our mind. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Am I one of the nine? Are you one of the nine? We need to insist that our children give thanks. We make no apology for teaching our children to be grateful. Teach your children to say thank you after every time. Teach your children to work hard and to do their chores well. When someone does something nice for them, teach them to say thank you and get them in the habit of writing thank you notes from a very young age. Even if they can't write, get them to draw a picture. Tell them what it is. It's saying thank you. Hopefully you're already teaching your children to pray every single day before meals, before you go to bed, but challenge them, at least occasionally, to pray to God, and the content of that prayer is only gratitude. Tell them in this particular prayer, let's not ask God for anything. We're only going to tell him thank you and list the things that you're thankful for. Challenge your children to do that. God wants us to express our thanks, not just to feel it. Number three, God wants us to be thankful for the difficult days as well as the pleasant days. This is really important. God wants us to be thankful for the difficult days as well as the pleasant days. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. And then the text says, but in everything, in prayers and supplications, in thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything. And if, even the difficult days, be thankful. In everything. Why can I be thankful in everything, even in the difficult days? Well, several reasons come to my mind. The difficult days, you know what they do to me? They purify me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says this. Let me read this. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Difficult days, they have a purifying effect to my life. You show me an old faithful saint who isn't about to turn her back on the Lord, and she's been a Christian for decades upon decades, and I'll show you a saint that's seen many difficult days. And those difficult days have done nothing ultimately other than strengthen her resolve and her single-minded devotion for the Lord. Difficult days, they purify me. Number two, difficult days, they build my character. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says this. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It builds my character and makes me more dedicated to the Lord. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we are to cast all our anxieties on Him, which brings to my mind a third reason why we need to give thanks for God in the difficult days, rather not just the pleasant ones. It strengthens my longing for God. The difficult days, they remind me that this world is not all there is, and thank God for that. The difficult days have a clarifying effect in my mind, in my resolve, in my devotion to the Lord, in my walk with Christ. The difficult days remind me I'm living for something greater than myself. I'm living for something so much more meaningful than what I have right now. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I see how our world is becoming. I see the direction that it's going. And it reminds me, I'm so thankful this world is not my home, and the difficult days do nothing but make me long for heaven all the more. The difficult days remind me that there's purpose behind the difficult days. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I don't know how non-Christians suffer. I don't know how they handle it. But I know how I handle it. There's a purpose behind all of it. It's all there ultimately for my benefit. It's making me all the more prepared for heaven. Lastly, I want you to see this about thankfulness. Being unthankful, listen to me, being unthankful is the ugliest of sins. I need to be real clear about this. You can't spend time with God's Word without ultimately realizing this. Unthankfulness is the ugliest of all sins. And there's several reasons for that. Number one, unthankfulness is the sin upon which all other sins are predicated. It's very interesting. You think about Eve, for example. Would Eve have eaten that forbidden fruit had she been thoroughly thankful for the forest of trees any of which she could have had. She was ungrateful. Think about Israel. Would Israel have sinned against God by choosing idolatry? Had they been truly thankful for the fact that God delivered them from Egyptian bondage? You think about Judas. Would Judas have betrayed my Lord? Had he not been ultimately thankful, deeply, thoroughly grateful for the fact that he was chosen to be one of the 12? Think about a husband. Would a husband betray his wife's confidence if he was truly thankful for the trust that she had in him? Or think about just a Christian. How can a Christian be negligent in his or her attendance for the assemblies of the church or contributing his time, money, energy to the work of the church if he was not thankful for the bride of Christ? What about our children? If we neglect to train our children, to teach them, to spend time with our children, I'll tell you what that means. We're not thankful for our children. Every sin you can imagine, it's built onto the foundational sin of unthankfulness. But another reason why unthankfulness is the ugliest of sin is because it's listed among the ugliest of sins. You think about Romans chapter 1, for example. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. We read this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For we can know about God, what we can know about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power, his divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." Now, verse 21 of Romans 1 says this: "For although they knew God, they did not honor him or give him thanks." And then the text goes on to list all the other sins that were built on this one sin of unthankfulness: murder, covetousness, malice, envy, strife, deceit, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, all of that because they ultimately did not honor God or give him thanks. Lastly, unthankfulness is the ugliest of sins because it's the mark, one of them anyway, that we are in the midst of very perilous times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we read this. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. "Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents." Get this. "Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." As society goes, there is always unthankfulness. If you are not faithfully serving the Lord right now, what you are is an ingrate. You are ungrateful. Ungratitude is the ugliest sin there is. How can you fail to obey God if you really are thankful for what he's done for you and the way of life that he's prepared for you, the abundant life that he has in store for you? Are you not thankful right now that God has spared your life? He's blessed you with all the unmerited blessings that are in our life right now. And he's given you one more chance right now to obey him if you haven't done so already. Why don't you demonstrate that gratitude to the Lord right now? If you're subject to the invitation in any way, come forward right now as we stand and sing.